Taking our Bibles this evening and turning to the book of Proverbs, the 23rd chapter. This evening, we're looking at the pitfall of dishonoring parents. Proverbs chapter 23, beginning in verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begot thee. Despise not thy mother when she's old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Let's ask the Lord to bless us as we look in His Word. Father, we thank You for this good evening, especially now, Lord, as we bow before You tonight. We pray for the young people who are gone from us down in Round Rock, Texas. Help them to have Your blessings abundantly as they reach out to the community to attract teens to a new church that's being established. Be with the pastor there. Be with Pastor Brandon. Be with Herb, be with the Ashleys and others who have traveled with our interns, that all would have wisdom, and all would have protection, and that a good work would be done and left behind. And especially, Lord, we pray for the teens, for we know that they've banded together in prayer that some would be saved. So answer that prayer, Lord. Encourage them, and may some even be called into ministry because of what they experience on this trip to Round Rock, Texas. And now, Lord, as we look into Your Word on a topic that we probably wouldn't select, but one that's ever so apparently necessary as to come up so often in Your Word, we pray for wisdom. Help us as a congregation to desire to live righteously and to honor our parents. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Just this past week, a dear friend came to me in tears. He asked for a moment. We sat down together. And he shared with me that he had just received word that his son had been involved in an adulterous relationship. I asked a few clarifying questions. I understood that his son has been married for a number of years. They have three children. As I listened to this man share his heart, I experienced through him tremendous pain, a parental pain that I have never known, and I hope that I will never know. You see, my friend's child, having grown up in a ministry home, having made consecrated vows to be faithful till death would him part, my friend's child turned his back on his vows, turned his back on his training, and turned his back on his wife, and turned his back on his God, and brought pain to his father that I'm sure when he involved himself in that relationship he never imagined would come. No one who involves themselves in immorality would ever do so if they knew that they were trampling on the hearts of their mother and their father. But this young man did exactly that. You know, Proverbs chapter 23 says, "Hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she's old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy." And so it follows that if those who have wise children rejoice, those who are parents, unfortunately, of the unwise and the unrighteous, why, they grieve. We're living in a generation when Satan's fiery darts are often focused on our families. And so people are found listening to CDs and picking up books. They're found going to conferences and seminars. We even have gurus on the radio and television telling us how to raise our families. Experts on the family offer all kinds of opinion. They fill the shelves with all kinds of opinions and books that we ought to consider and manuals. But the foundational principles for family peace are set forward in God's Word. This evening, we look at the pitfall of dishonoring our parents. And as we look at the pitfall of dishonoring parents, we ought to be reminded that 2 Timothy tells us rather in chapter 3 and verse 2 that one of the marks of the end times is the mark of being disobedient to parent. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, there it is, disobedient to parents. Romans chapter 1 says that when people have turned away from the knowledge that they could possess about God, it becomes evident in their lives of pride and licentiousness. It also becomes evident in this matter. Those who have turned their hearts away from God are inventors of evil things. Romans 1 and verse 30, they are disobedient to parents. You know, the topic that's before us this evening, honoring our parents, is an important topic for our time. We are living in an ever-changing society. The climate of our homes has dramatically shifted over the last few years. In fact, over one-third of the Americans between the ages of 18 and 34, over one-third of them now live with their parents. This is the first time since the Census Bureau has gone about seeing what Americans are doing. 1880, they started asking the question of the American populace, with whom do you live? And of course, the natural majority over many decades was, well, with my spouse. And then it changed a bit with my significant other or my partner. Today, below spouse and below significant other, for those who are 18 to 34 years of age in America, for the very first time since the American census takers have taken the census, 18 to 34-year-olds, a third of them now, the largest grouping, are living at home with mom and dad. I'm not saying that's wrong. Our daughter, who's in her early 30s, lives with us, and how we rejoice to have her with us. But it's an interesting dynamic. In fact, Forbes magazine notes that 43% of the 30 to 33-year-olds today in America, 43% are financially dependent on their parents. We have an appropriate text for us then this evening as we open our Bibles to Proverbs 23, because Proverbs 23 speaks to every age, to every demographic, to every culture, to every situation, when the Word of God says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Let's look this evening at the book of Proverbs, to the passage that we've opened, and find a directive and then a decision. And we'll end this evening rather quickly with the delight that can be had when this particular proverb is put to practice in our homes. We begin with a directive. It's a directive that is necessary, because in a generation when elder abuse, they call this the unspoken crime, because it brings such tremendous shame. In a generation where elder abuse is increasing, and 76 million Americans born between 1976 and the year 2000 are resorting to living, many of them, with their parents, we ought to focus on this directive. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee. Despise not thy mother when she's old. Proverbs 23:22 contains the wisdom of God for everyone at all times, whether those people be Generation Xers or millennials. And there's a twofold directive that is here. Do you see it with me? Solomon, through the Spirit of God, says that every child has a twofold obligation. They ought to consider it carefully, and it's going to seem ever so familiar, but never too familiar. The first part of the directive is this: obey, obey. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee. The word hearken is equivalent in the Old Testament to our word obey. And so throughout the Old Testament, you will hear this little phrase, hearken, and you ought to transpose it in your minds. It's speaking of the necessity of obedience. Hearken, obey the father that begat thee. Pastor, why do you say that? Well, Psalm 81 says in verse 11, God speaking to Israel, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me, so I gave them unto their own hearts lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto my voice." What's he speaking about? He's speaking about obedience, that Israel was disobedient. Psalm 95, verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand." Today, if you will hear His voice, if you'll hearken, if you'll obey, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. And oh, by the way, isn't it interesting? The second part of this directive, despise not thy mother when she is old. He's speaking about honoring one's parents. Obedience to a parent is a temporary obligation. It's temporary during the time that we are dependent upon our parents. Honoring our parents, on the other hand, is a lifetime obligation. It never ends. And so that obligation is repeated over and over. 8 times you'll find the obligation to honor your parents in the pages of God's Word. Exodus 20 is the first time in the Ten Commandments, the 12th verse. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged. Matthew 15 and verse 4. God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. Matthew 19:19, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Mark 7, verse 10, for Moses commanded, honor thy father and mother. Whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. Mark 10, verse 19, thou knowest the commandment. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Defraud not, honor thy father and mother. Take your Bibles with me this evening and go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. The first of the 6 commandments relating to our horizontal relationships, our relationships with one another, the first of those 6 is, of course, this obligation to honor our parents. After that, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. It's important that we see that as the tables of the commandments change from a focus on our vertical relationship with God, no other gods, no idols, not taking the names of the Lord in vain, and remembering the Sabbath to keep it holy, the first table of the law, the second table of the law, in that movement from the first to the second, there is the foundation of all of society. God created the family and God created government. But God created the family before he created government. And God created the church. And in all of those relationships, the building block is the home. So it's necessary that God say, as he begins those commandments that help us relate to one another in peace, honor your parents. We've opened our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Probably the first verse most children in Christian homes ever memorize. I know it was probably the first verse our children memorized, and we enjoyed hearing them say it, and we hoped that they'd really learn it. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Let's look at that verse just a little bit this evening. Of course, God says, children, obey your parents. Did you know that the word translated children in this passage is the Greek word technon? I'm sure that means a lot to you. As opposed to blephos, and that means even more. Blephos means infant. Technon describes a child of any age who is dependent upon the parents. And so he says, children, obey your parents. And he's not speaking to infants. He's not speaking to infants. He's speaking here specifically, you ready for this? To dependents. So when does the time come that I don't have to obey my parents? When you're no longer depending upon them. Well, all I get from them now is my health insurance. Till you're 25. Even when you're married. 26, actually. We're living in an interesting generation. But the passage that we've turned to this evening says those who are dependent upon their parents are under obligation to be obedient to their parents. But Dad, I don't like going to that church. You're living in my home. You're going to church with me. What? You dependent? Well, I'm independent. I'm going off to college. Yeah, who pays the bills? As long as I do. Man, Pastor Phelps, you are draconian, difficult, from another generation. Great. You back up your position biblically, I just back mine up, all right? It's a biblical position. But if I take that position, but my children, you said the word. If they're under my roof and dependent, there's an expectation in God's word of obedience. If they're not under my roof and they're no longer dependent, there's still an expectation of honor. And so I look in this passage and I note the words. And I remember that there's a tremendous problem that's going on in our culture today. They call it granny abuse. Remember I said that parental abuse is, by sociologists, called one of the most silent of sins because of the shame that's involved. And folks, the largest segment of our population growing is senior citizen, right? As baby boomers become old duffers, something is changing. You know, a lot of churches don't get this. It's really funny. A lot of churches, you know, we're going after the young because we want to rejuvenate our church with young people. The largest growing segment of the population is senior citizen. Yeah, but we don't care about them. That's a problem. The Bible says, rise up before the hoary head. I remember when I was a senior in high school, I was very dependent upon my parents. I was working a couple jobs and getting ready for college. I was sitting in church with my mom and dad. And an elderly person in our home church there in West Virginia came by. And he reached over and he shook my hand. How you doing, young man? Where are you going to school next year? And I looked up at him. I said, well, I'm going, you know, doing this, doing that. And I think I still have a broken rib from my mom. She gave me an elbow to die for. I think it almost killed me. Almost penetrated a lung, I'm sure. She just wailed on me. She said, the Bible says, rise up before the hoary head. I couldn't. I was out of breath. I mean, I was sitting there going, Mom was right. And it's a discipline that I've tried to establish in my life and the lives of my children. Be careful. The problem of disobedience is not a new problem. It's an ancient problem, and it's a very significant problem. So significant that in Exodus 21, the Bible says in verse 15, he that smiteth his father or his mother, ready for this, shall surely be put to death. He that curseth his father or his mother, it's not just a matter of lifting the hand. Even verbal abuse shall surely be put to death. Now, we're not in the Old Testament time, but the principles of God's word yet apply. And so as we look in the book of Proverbs, we ought to understand that we're living in a generation, I think, that is described in Proverbs 30 and verse 11. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. God makes a statement about that. He says in Proverbs 30 and verse 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. But pastor, you don't know my parents. They're very difficult. I know this, that when they're gone, you'll never look back and say, I wish I hadn't done so much. I wish I hadn't honored so faithfully. But there are many who will say, I wish I'd have done more, and I wish I'd truly have shown honor. Ephesians 6 then says, children, to obey. This is an action word. It's an action word. And it's an action word that is modified by this little phrase, in the Lord. What does that mean? It means that God's word does not require children to violate the laws of God to be obedient to their parents. Let me say that again. God's word does not require children to violate the laws of God to be obedient to their parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That action word is modifying how we obey. Years ago, there was a book that was written about a wife's responsibility to her husband. For after all, doesn't the Bible say the wife is to submit to her husband? So the author of this book shared that regardless of what the husband had asked, if you live with an unsaved husband who is asking you to do something that you know to be contrary to the counsel of God's word or even immoral, you ought to always follow your husband's advisement. And then this, because your husband will never ask you to do something outside the will of God. And I thought, it seems impossible to me that the person who wrote that book has ever lived and breathed in the same planet that I live and breathe on. Because reality is, those who are lost will often require of their children things that are against the counsels of God's word. Even so, Those that are married may marry a spouse who's saying, this is what we're going to do. And one knows that would be impossible without me corrupting my conscience. And so God has said, obey your parents in the Lord. And he says that, I believe, for a reason. That there are boundaries within which obedience is to be practiced. Acts 5 and verse 29, the apostles said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, they were under civil authority, and Romans 13 tells us that we're to bow the knee to civil authority, for they don't bear the sword in vain. But there come times when that which is being asked of us, whether by parent or by spouse or by civil authority, or dare I say, by pastoral authority, is in contradiction to God's word, and we obey God, not man. But be careful here. For as we look in this passage, children to honor their parents in verse 2, and that is describing attitude. So while the action word is to obey, the attitude to honor, that attitude is to continue forward. It's the word tameia. It means to always put high value on one's parents. That's a lifelong commitment. Proverbs 23:22, despise not thy mother when she is old. Many, many people in America today are living 20 and 30 and even 40 years past the time when they became eligible to draw Social Security. Many people in America today, their money is running out before their life is. And we ask the question, what shall be done? 1 Timothy makes it clear. Regarding the matter of widows, receive not a widow into the public charity of the church until at least her 60th year. And then the qualifications. Has she been hospitable to others? Has she reared a family? Has she been faithful to her husband? There are qualifications given. But within those qualifications is this. The first qualification, families ought to take care of families. 1 Timothy 5 says in verse 8, if any man provide not for his own, if any man provide not for his own, speaking of widows in 1 Timothy 5, speaking of elderly mothers, if you don't provide, you've denied the faith and you're worse than an infidel. Now there's a tension point here, so let's resolve it. We always honor, we don't always obey. We always obey when we're dependent. Once we're no longer dependent, we always honor. And part of that honoring may mean helping and supporting. But being careful, because some of us here will find ourselves responsible providing for parents on into their elder years who clearly don't honor God. That means we need to be careful to honor them, but not to be part of their sin. God's word always makes a way for us that we may be able to escape the times of temptation. And while the word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that parents ought to lay up for the children, not the children for the parents, yet God's word gives us the obligation also that if the parents' money has run out before their life has run out, we ought to be involved. Well, Pastor, that's what social services are for. I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that at all. I think a person would be very unwise not to take advantage of the things that we've paid into in this government that seeks to provide for us. By the way, Bernie Sanders isn't that far off. We do pay enormous taxes to provide social benefits. And it's not often that someone comes along and says, I know I paid all that money into Social Security for those 40 years, but I just don't want it. Right. You paid for it, you own it. You paid for the benefits. Maybe it's Medicaid. Maybe it's hospitalization. There's no shame in taking what you've paid for. And there's great wisdom in the young person who understands, even while in middle age or upper middle age, that while those benefits are there and been paid for, they ought to be received. But all the while, there ought to be a personal obligation. This is a decision, you see, that we make. A decision. If you come back with me again to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Proverbs, chapter 23. In a world that's peddling theories for successful parenting, those who be wise must settle at nothing less than truth. Verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. How can I navigate this all too common now challenge of honoring my aged parents, because he's speaking of don't despise your mother when she's old. Well, I do it by buying the truth and selling it not. In other words, I'm going to make two decisions. The first decision I'm going to make is to seek the truth. What does God say? You know, 2,000 years ago, Pilate said, what is truth? And King Jesus, before he stood before Pilate, had already said in his great high priestly prayer, thy word is truth. We should spare no expense, the book of Proverbs is saying, when it comes to obtaining truth. Seek after it. Put other things aside. Those things of worldly enjoyment, those opportunities may need to wait. It's going to take time to buy the truth. Isaiah 8 says it's precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. It's going to take effort, study to show yourself approved. I want to know, as I fulfill my responsibility in honoring my parents, what does God say? And so, seek the truth. Hold to the truth. Hold to the truth. Sell it not. Along with wisdom, which is the practical ability to put truth into life, and instruction, which is chastening and correction, and understanding, which is discernment, he is saying, don't let go of these things. Hold on to them. How committed are we when the tough times come? You know, when the tough time comes, that's when Christian character is revealed. When the challenges come, God has the unique ability of squeezing us to make perfume or to show that we stink. We want to hold on to God's word at those times and say, this is the lamp to my feet. This is the light to my path. I want to be able to trace back into God's word why that decision was made, by the truth, and sell it not. Make a decision. If God's word says it, that settles it. But in my family, Pastor Phelps, some of the stuff you talked about tonight, I'm telling you, people are going to think I'm certifiable. Well, help them to know that you're certifiably God's person. Put God's word to work in your family and find out that it will work for your family. It's a decision we make. I'm going to be truth-based, even when it's unpopular, even when other people around me are doing other things. In this passage, you understand, he speaks of the delight that comes to parents who know the blessings of wise children. Look at verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Those who are privileged to parent children, who obtain wisdom, are promised happiness and joy and even mirth. More value than financial gain, more value than great status in the community, is the great value of parents when they see their children walking in truth. I have no greater joy, 3 John, than to hear that my children walk in truth. I said to someone at the end of today at Colonial, there are those here who are going to feel like they've been through a family conference. That's okay. We need a family conference from time to time. We need to hold this, that every child needs to carefully consider the outcome of their conduct. And consider, young man, the outcome of your conduct on your parents. I grew up in a pastor's home. From time to time, people would say, yeah, you had to be good because, you grew up in a pastor's home. Those who say such things didn't know me when I was young. God has done a wonderful work of grace in my heart. But for this, I am very thankful. Having the privilege of growing up in a pastor's home, that's a privilege. But a greater privilege is this. Having the privilege of growing up in a home where I knew my mother and father loved me. I'm a public school graduate. As a public school graduate, during the age that was just coming out of the hippie times, some of you know what those are, there were plenty of temptations and plenty of opportunities. Never did it cross my mind, I can't do that because I'm a pastor's kid. Never. But it always crossed my mind, I don't want to do that because that would really hurt my dad and my mom. I know for a fact that my love for my parents kept me, if you will, on the straight and narrow, many times when the crooked was ever so easily available. Loving our children to righteous obedience, but standing firm when times come that are difficult, that's the balance that's represented in God's Word. Put on here a picture of Steve Henderson. Some of you may want to go home and do a little research on this. Back in 2006, Christianity Today printed an article that I never forgot. It was by Steve Henderson. He owns and operates a Christian consulting company that helps with consulting of Christian colleges in America. He shared some interesting things about students heading off to college, and I think they're worthy of us considering as a church family. He says, really, in his article, it's a matter of price versus cost. People often become phobic about sending their young people off to colleges that may seem more expensive. He said, but really, it's more price versus cost. He did a 25-year study, thousands of young people in hundreds of Christian colleges, to demonstrate that 52% of incoming born-again freshmen who enter into secular universities will no longer identify as born again in 4 years. That's a staggering statistic. The 1 in 2 who go off into secular schools, public institutions, non-faith-based institutions, will be spiritually shipwrecked within 4 years. In fact, his study demonstrated, I think it was something of the nature of 80% of those freshmen don't attend church at all during their freshman year. He noted even worse. Isn't this interesting? 70% of those who attend Catholic colleges will deny the faith within 4 years. No longer have any interest in anything even remotely close to Christian. But contrary to that, he notices an upscale and gives you statistics to back it up, and that's why I say to the probing, discerning parent, do some study. But those who attend conservative Christian colleges find their strength, faith-based, strengthened. Interesting, sobering. Buy the truth and sell it not. When it comes to the important decision as to where our young people are being trained, don't forget, the cost may not be as important as the price. And may God help us to see young people who go from our homes so that we can say, thy father and thy mother shall be glad. She that bare thee shall rejoice. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed as we look to the Lord in prayer. Now, Father, tonight we've been addressing a practical topic that in some circles is almost cringeworthy. But Lord, in this circle, I pray that you'd help us discerningly, lovingly, committedly to simply say we want to live the book. Lord, I thank you that your Bible is our roadmap, that it stands forever, and that we never need to fear standing with God when it comes to a matter that he's clearly revealed. And so tonight, Lord, I pray you'd probe some heart. There may be someone in this room tonight who has been under conviction because of a relationship, even severed with a parent. Lord, I pray that that conviction would fall hard upon them this evening, that they would see the need to always honor, but not necessarily always to obey, to always provide. And Lord, I pray that this evening, as these truths settle into our hearts, you'd show us a way that we might live them out so that we can hear well done.